Good morning, boys and girls.
Good morning.
That was a lovely hymn that we sung. Go safe to the rock that is higher than I. If you get a chance today, hymn book's down there in the corner. You look it up again and read the words, for they're worth studying. It fits in very well with what we want to say this morning, for we're coming to the end of our studying of this parable. That's in John 10, that's where we're turning to, John 10. Because I want to speak this morning upon the simple subject, where do the sheep run to when they run away from the false shepherd? We read how they followed the Lord Jesus, and how his sheep will not follow the voice of the false shepherd, but when they hear the voice of the false shepherds, they run away. Well now, where do they run to? Where do they run to? That's why we sang that hymn, O safe to the rock, which is higher than I. We're going to read the verses 4 and 5 again, just to remind ourselves of what is here. John 10, verse 4, And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Boys and girls, here are the two marks that will be seen upon the true child of God. Two marks. One, they're following the Lord. Their eyes are upon him. They're listening for his voice. Two, they're avoiding like the plague those who are not the Savior, those who are strangers, those who are false prophets. That's how you know a Christian. They have that disposition, that love for the Savior, and that dislike of those who would take the place of the Savior. I want to emphasize that. I think that second mark is sometimes absent from Christians today. It's not as plain as it ought to be. When I first got saved, I'll tell you a wee story. When I first got saved, I wasn't too long under the ministry of the late Dr. Ian Paisley, until I had within my heart a real aversion to the ecumenical movement and all who were involved in it. I saw it for what it was, and I didn't want anything to do with it. That was in 1964. Well, just down the road, and some of you boys from down the road will know the Methodist church there, the far side of Trilling, Cockerdoo. Well, I was in a funeral service there at the graveside. I think it was about September 1964. Now, I was only April, May, June, July, August, September. That's all months that I had been saved. Wasn't too long saved. And I was there. And one of the ministers who was taking that funeral was, I don't know whether he was the Methodist president that year or had been just the year before. His name was Dr. Hedley Plunkett. He came from Listnaskee, my hometown. And my mother and father had known him as a young lad working in a shop. And if you go to Listnaskee, you still see the shop. It's Dowler's shop. That's where he worked. And then he went on to study and become a Methodist minister and became the Methodist president. And the Methodist church was up to its 2 years in ecumenism. Well, anyway, at the graveside, somebody said to him, oh, this young fella got saved just a few months ago following the death of another man who's buried here in Tuckerdoo. In fact, the man had been the husband of the lady that was being buried that day. So he came over to me, oh, that's wonderful, and he had his hand outstretched. And I put my hands behind my back. Now, you can judge me right or wrong, but I put my hands behind my back and I said, sir, I wouldn't shake hands with you. You're an ecumenist. You're in the ecumenical movement, and it's wrong. Maybe I wasn't quite as clear and articulate in what I said as I am here this morning, but that was the gist of what I said. Well, I want to tell you, he jumped about that height off the ground in anger. He wasn't pleased at me saying that. Wasn't pleased at all. But you know, as I stood there and said that, I was hearing the reports given by Dr. Paisley of what this man, though he was an evangelical, I have no doubt he was a true Christian, but he was failing the Lord badly, failing the Lord because he had ambitions and wanted to be well thought of. And as a president in the Methodist Church, he was, of course, by some well thought of. And as I saw him approach me and his hand outstretched, I could hear Dr. Paisley preaching. and telling what it was this man had done. And I knew he wasn't walking with God. In fact, you know what Dr. Paisley used to call him? Dr. Paisley had a great habit of putting nicknames on those he rightly criticized. And this man, Dr. Headley Plunkett, he used to call him Dr. Headless Plunkett, for he has no brains, and he would go on along those lines. You know, I'll tell you this, there might have been many people who said, oh, he shouldn't say things like that. Well, the spirit of Elijah manifested up there on Mount Carmel was one of mocking toward those who were wrong, and he mocked the false prophets, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. In fact, you find the Savior mocking the old King Herod of his day. And that's what Dr. Paisley did. And I'll tell you this, when he did that and gave those nicknames, what he said stuck in the minds of people. They never forgot. And here I am today, oftentimes stuck when it comes to trying to remember names. That's why when I meet you, I call you by something other than what your name is. I've forgotten your name. And rather than call you number one or number two or number three or number four, I try to come up with a name. Doesn't happen too often. But here I am today remembering Headless Plunkett. And that's because of Dr. Paisley's comical habit of putting names on those he wanted the people to be aware of and to shy away from. Oh, I tell you, boys and girls, here's the two marks of a true Christian. You follow the Savior, and you're not keeping company with the Lord one day and then keeping company with the strangers and the false prophets the next day. If you love the voice of the Lord and the word of the Lord, then you'll detest the words of the false prophets. You'll not be able to take it. Do you ever hear of a wee woman called Jenny Geddes? Many heard of Jenny Geddes. Good. Well, I'll just remind you, Jenny Geddes was a wee woman in Edinburgh, way, way back in the 1500s. And they were reintroducing that which really wasn't the old word of God. They were trying to do away with the work of John Knox, who had died, and the enemy had come in again, and they were trying to take all that John Knox had done and throw it out and reintroduce Romanism into the church. And so Jenny Geddes was there, and this old fellow who was appointed by the king, an old apostate, he got up and he started to read out part of the Book of Morning Prayer as it was then. And Jenny Geddes, she said, that's not the word of God. And she had, as a poor woman, carried her own little stool into the church to sit on. And she got up and she took this little three-legged stool and she pitched it up at the old preacher. And she said in broad Edinburgh accent, "You'll no say the mass in my lug." Now, all of you know exactly what she was saying. She wasn't prepared to listen to the words of an apostate. She was acting like a true sheep, true Christian. She loved the voice of the Lord, but she didn't like the voice of the enemy. And so she got up and she pitched her stool at the old apostate preacher. I don't know whether she hit him or not. We're not told whether or not she hit the target. But that's an evidence of the spirit of the true child of God. We love the Lord, but we can't abide that which is wrong. David said, I hate the wicked with a perfect hatred. Most people today, even evangelicals today, but oh, you can't say things like that. But yes, you can, because if you love the Lord, then you cannot but hate that which is against the Lord. You cannot but hate that which is against the Lord. Watching a little video the other night of a mother lion, and a male lion had come and had attacked the group of female lion. And this female lion had two or three cubs. The big lion killed them. Well, I want to tell you, that female lion, although she was nearly only half the size of the big male, she tore into him, lifted lumps out of him, and there was fur flying, and she was biting and clawing. Why? Because she loved her cubs, and loving her cubs, she was in great fury against the one that had harmed her cubs. And love and hatred go together. That which you love, you will hate anything that's against it. You will rise up in fury against anything that threatens that which you love. So there are these two aspects. Now, I did tell you we were going to finish today, so I better get on with it, because that really was only the introduction. So we're looking at the question, where do the sheep run to escape the stranger? Did it just run in every direction? No, we have a place of refuge. We have a place of refuge. Psalm 46, the verse 1 says, God is our refuge. So the sheep would run to the shepherd. That's where they would run. If they felt threatened, they'd run to the shepherd. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. God sees trouble coming on you before you do. And when God sees trouble coming on you, he's there with you right away. Before you know you're in trouble, or trouble is threatening you, God's there. And he's there for you to run to. You don't have far to run. He is a very present help. You don't have to start looking around and wondering where is he and what direction do I... He's right there. He's right there. We had a day of prayer. Indeed, all of our congregations, I'm sure, for it was appointed by presbytery. We had a day of prayer on the Lord's Day. And I'm sure people driving up and down the road, noticing cars sitting there throughout the most of the day, were wondering, what are they doing there all day? Because the world doesn't know anything about days of prayer. Indeed, the professing church, to a large degree today, doesn't know anything about a day of prayer. What were we doing? We were seeking refuge in the Lord. Because this is a day of trouble in our land. This is a day of trouble, boys and girls. And when you're much older, you look back on the events that are happening today. You mightn't think a lot about them today, and no one can expect you at your age to really comprehend all that's going on or see the implications of it. But later on, you recognize it as a day of trouble. And the churches were gathering, just like us here in Kilskerry, were gathering to pray, to cry to the Lord. We were seeking refuge in the Lord. When in danger, we seek the Lord. We seek his voice. That's how they would have known where to run, these sheep. They would have listened for the voice of the Lord. Where is he? And then followed the voice of the Lord. John chapter 6, if you want to just turn back a few chapters. John chapter 6. It's a very interesting chapter. It's a long chapter, but then there's a lot of things happening in it. And verses 66 to 69 says this, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. You see the difference? The disciples were genuine. There had been a mass of followers who were only pretended disciples. They weren't genuine. And they were now leaving the Lord. And the Savior turned to Peter and the rest of them and said, are you going away too? Now listen to what Peter said. Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words. See what it was attracted them to the Savior? His voice, his words, what he said, what he said. So I tell you, when the sheep are in trouble, it's the word, the voice of the Lord they look for and head toward. It should be noticed that that same voice, the voice of the Lord, the voice of the shepherd, had driven the false disciples away. If you go back a little in John 6 and the verse 60 we read concerning the false disciples. They forsook the Lord because they didn't like his voice. Look at what it says. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? They didn't like what the Savior was saying. They didn't like the voice of the Lord, of the shepherd. And so they turned away from him. Whereas Peter and the others, they said, Lord, thou hast the word of eternal life. We like what you're saying. We love what you're saying. We rejoice in what you're saying. And we're going to stay with you because thou hast the words of eternal life. The verse 66 of John 6 says, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Oh, boys and girls, you can tell who you are by the direction you're walking in. If you're walking away from the Lord, you're not his. But if you're walking after the Lord, then you're his. You're his. Continuing after Christ is proof that we really belong to him. Here's another chapter in John's Gospel. This time it's the chapter 8, the verse 30. As he spake these words, John 8, verse 30, as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if thou continue in my word, thou art my disciples indeed. Do you see that, boys and girls? Oh, you might say, oh yes, I'm a Christian. You might say that. You might have told mommy, you might have told daddy, Sunday school teacher. But you're not a Christian. if you don't continue in the word of the Lord. In the parable, to continue in the word of the Lord is illustrated for us by the sheep following the shepherd. They hear his voice, they follow the shepherd. Wherever he goes, wherever that voice leads them, that's where they go. And that's how you know they belong to the shepherd. And that's how we know that you're saved, if you follow the Lord. I got a lovely email there just a couple of days ago, I think it was Saturday, from a young man who's engaged in the work of child evangelism up on one of our churches. And he was telling me a number of things. And amongst the things he was telling me was of work amongst the children. They have a bus that goes around some of the estates and the big town they're in and brings the children in to the children's meeting. And he was saying that there was a young girl. Oh, just a young girl. Just like you. And she had stayed behind one Wednesday night. That's when their meeting was. And she talked about getting saved. And she said, I want to go home and pray about it myself. And then last Wednesday, she told this young man who was writing to me. She says, I got saved. But what thrilled him most, I think, it's right to say, was that she talked about how she was reading the Bible for herself, studying it every night and praying. She was continuing. Do you understand? Not only did she seek to follow the Lord, but she kept at it. And she was into the Bible to hear the voice of the Lord. Because the Bible tells you what direction to go in. The Bible is the voice of the Lord. Also in that chapter 8 of John's Gospel, we read these words, verse 43. Here the Savior is speaking to those who are not really saved, don't belong to him. Verse 43, why do ye not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word? That word hear means you can't understand. Oh, you hear my voice, but you can't understand what is being said. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Child of God has an affinity. I'm sure you have worked a wee bit with magnets. Well, you take a magnet and bring it up to a piece of iron or steel and boom, it just jumps to it. It has an affinity. It wants to be close as possible to that piece of iron or steel. That's the way it is with a true Christian. They want to be close to Christ. Those who are not, the Savior says, I tell you the truth, but you don't believe. You don't believe. You shy away from it. You're not attracted to it. I'm going to close with a reading of a short psalm. It just sums up what it is to be a true sheep, a true member of Christ's flock. It's the psalm number 1, the very first psalm. This psalm begins with the word blessed. And the word itself, you know, is a word that implies an overflowing joyfulness. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Oh, boys and girls, may you know the voice of the Lord, and may you follow it, no matter what may try to attract you away from following the Savior. May the Lord bless his word to our heart. I've gone on a little longer than I should today, but may the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Let's pray together, please. Lord, we commit to thee the word set forth today. Please give us a love for the Savior and a love for his word. A love for his word. Bless the boys and girls today. Bless the school undertake for it and all its needs. And grant grace and help to us. God, hear us. At this time of trouble, may we seek refuge in thee for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.